This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. You just heard the first part of Bobby's story. He's a Ukrainian Twitch streamer whose devoted fan base helped him and his family navigate the war zone. OTM correspondent Micah Loewinger wanted to know how Bobby fared since we first ran that story in March. So here's part two of his reporting.
So how long has it been since we last spoke?
5 months.
5 months, yeah. What's happened? Catch us up.
Oh, so things are not changing as much as we wish. The war is still ongoing. We are hitting the hard point in the conflict where losses are quite similar on both sides. I do still help with organizing supplies for local people and fighters.
What happened to the refugee hostel that you built? Is that still functional?
Not so much of refugees these days. Now people who are living there are those who are coming back to Ukraine and they need a place to temporarily locate themselves.
While Bobby was doing all this charity work over the past few months, he and his family had been really struggling.
I'm telling you, he was practically homeless.
This is Robert Rhodes, one of the Bobbies. That's what he calls his viewers from Twitch. Robert's a 21-year-old college student from the UK. In April, he cut class, flew to Ukraine, and crashed with Bobby's family so he could chip in with the humanitarian work.
That little room we were staying at, what did we have in there? We had some like tablets, we had some phones, some chargers, food, some nappies, and that's it. He had nothing really.
The timing turned out to be really bad. When he arrived, Bobby had pesticide poisoning and was sick with diarrhea. A shipment of supplies they'd ordered from Sweden never showed up. So there really wasn't any work to do. And Robert began wondering why he'd risked his life to just sit around in this tiny town.
I feel like, you know, I'm still wasting away here. And so I figured I will go to Kiev. I will take pictures because I brought a proper professional camera to take pictures and see how the situation is, see how it all is for real. And so I figured I'd just buy a bus to Kiev. He was telling me how it's such a bad, stupid idea, but I was saying, I'm going to do this. And he figured, I'm not going to let you die alone. I'll come with you.
It sounds like you were a bit of a war tourist, honestly.
Mate, that's what it's sounding, isn't it?
He was actually shocked because he didn't believe that the main targets were all civilian targets. So he was able to see schools, kindergarten, hospitals, civilian, urban places being missiled by missiles.
In addition to keeping his friends safe, there were two reasons why Bobby was willing to go on this reckless trip. First, he'd imported some military equipment, several binoculars, rangefinders, and thermal scopes for sniper rifles and assault rifles, which he intended to donate to a Ukrainian colonel based in Kiev. And second, he and Robert had hatched a plan for him to start playing Escape from Tarkov again.
So now I was fleeing to pick up my family. I actually took a detour.
Back in February, at the very beginning of this story, the day he rushed out of the military base,
I left my computer in a very remote road in the forest. There was a tiny concrete bridge. And I just hide under the bridge in the plastic boxes covered with foil.
From Kiev, he was just 4 hours away from the hiding spot.
And we went, and I was able to recover my whole equipment.
You drove back into the war zone to get your PC?
Yes.
Bobby, you're crazy, man. You're crazy.
Every single Bobby was against it, besides the one who came to help me.
You are the poster child of a video game addict.
It's a lot of money for me. I won't be able to afford to get myself a second similar setup. I also felt obligated because, as you may know, everything I have was thanks to help of my viewers. I didn't buy a single piece of equipment I have right now. Everything I have, screens, keyboard, mouse, is donated.
Fortunately, the trip to and from the computer was successful and uneventful. And when he returned to his family, he began streaming Escape from Tarkov again.
We're still in Ukraine. We're still helping others to get through this war of Ukraine. But it's getting harder and harder, I will be honest. Contact on the rocks.
I don't think I really understood how important this bit of normalcy was for him, both emotionally and financially, until I began reviewing clips from his live streams in May. He can be seen holding his face, sobbing as he watches the donations coming in.
Thank you for every single one of you and all of you guys. It's hard to explain how much it means for us right now.
But soon after Bobby returned to Tarkov, he realized the game had changed during his time off. Many of his friends had stopped playing after a series of updates aimed at making the game more accessible had also made it less realistic and had attracted rampant cheating.
I'm no longer able to play Tarkov on so much as I wish, but it's no longer a fun game to actually try to help people with.
And for a moment, I think Bobby's future as a Twitch streamer was uncertain, until the state of the war forced him and his family to reinvent their lifestyle once again.
The whole idea of how it all started was trying to be independent with the food supplies for next year, because we are concerned, worried that the whole economy of Ukraine is on the edge of collapse. All the food supplies and everything is becoming harder and harder to get.
The World Food Program estimates that one in three households across Ukraine is now food insecure.
This comes as a train carrying food to people in Ukraine was struck by a Russian missile.
But right now, everywhere in southern Ukraine, you'll see people harvesting wheat and grain, and they're doing it amid artillery and frontline combat.
Some suiting up with body armor in order to feed the country.
In nearby cities and in his village, Bobby saw how people had transitioned to growing their own food to cope with these new challenges.
When we asked how much of a land is enough to sustain a small family, we were told that 2,000 meters will be just fine to feed all the vegetables and have chickens.
A man who he befriended through his charity work offered him a private loan for 2.5 acres of farmland. And in May, he and his family moved out there to begin their new life.
We don't have water here. We don't have toilet here. We have only electricity and gas, and everything else I'm slowly building.
No running water, just electricity and gas. Save for a couple dilapidated buildings and some fruit trees, the land was completely empty. And at first, he was a bit overwhelmed.
Never had a farm. I've never had an animals. And none of my friends are able to give me any help.
And so he turned to the activity that helps him process the world. Streaming video games on Twitch.
For the first time in my life, after several years of playing mainly Tarkov and Tarkov only, I'm trying to discover all the new horizons. I found hundreds of games which I never expect exist. For example, right now, I actually enjoy Ranch Simulator, which is early access.
Ranch Simulator? So you're living on a farm and you're playing Ranch
yes.
Simulator?
And when I'm resting from the farm in real life, I'm doing the same they've done in real life, but in the Ranch Simulator.
Your approach to life is the virtual reflecting the real and the sort of blurriness between the two.
Yes, you can try many things in games. And money have no value in the games because you can always get more and get it faster. You are able to see some of your own ideas, execute them, and then see how greatly you fail or how much it can be improved, and then work all over again. So I was laughing to everyone that I will play Farming Simulator 22 to learn how to farm in real life. And guess what? Thanks to Farming Simulator, I end up actually reorganize the shape of lands and to divide it to different parcels so I can grow more vegetables, more plants I need for my animals, and it will be more efficient for me in the end.
Farming Simulator 22 is as tedious and hyper-realistic as the name suggests. It's a no-frills intro for commercial farming. You're just a 3D guy with a bunch of land, and you learn everything from seasonal growing cycles to brand-name tractors and heavy machinery.
Wow! That's insane, kid. Check this out. There is a Farming Simulator mod which is sponsored by European Union, which is called Precise Farming, which gives you all the idea of what nutrition land need to have to grow certain types of crops.
This is fascinating. So the European Union funded a mod. yes. of Farming Simulator. Yes. And John Deere also participated in this mod to teach people yes. about what kind of pH yes. values and nitrogen content in yes. your soil will help you. That's wild.
And I learned all of it from Farming Simulator. And right now we are looking how to verify our level of the soil and how to prepare ourselves for next season. And when I explained to my neighbor that I want to do this and that test and I want to get myself a small tractor, they were shocked because they are still using horses and doing everything by hand.
Streaming these new games brought in a new crop of viewers.
Many of my viewers are actually farmers from US. And recently, one of the viewers from US, he actually helped me how to raise my cow, because then I had a problem to make her do what I want her to do without punishing her, because it's a very nice, lovely animal, very emotional. Cows are very emotional. So when we took him from her mom, in the first day when I came in the morning to the barn when she was staying, I literally seen her crying, and I was so moved that I literally lie down in the barn on the hay next to her and start petting her, and she lie down her face on my belly, and I was like, my God, this animal.
What's the cow's name?
Bessie.
Very original.
Oh, nickname her Bessie, because all my viewers who donate me to buy some animals, they choose the names for them. So for example, from my Pixel, he donated me to buy myself a nice rabbit. And our rabbit is called Laggy.
Like a laggy game when there's latency from the internet?
Yes. Wonderful rabbit.
Have other animals been donated?
Yes, we have Hyper chickens. Hyper donated me for chickens. We have 5 white chickens, 6 gray chickens. I have 2 sheep as well. And I have geese, which are also donations from the other viewers. So everything I have in the farm is actually support of my viewers.
It's fascinating to me. You're playing Farming Simulator, which is a game based on real life. And then it's almost like your viewers are playing Farming Simulator by getting you farm animals and by giving you advice yes. on how to improve your farm. You're their simulation.
Yes. I'm blessed to be this part because many of them are living in big cities. Many of them say they wish to have a piece of land where they can grow their own potatoes, their own vegetables, their own type of cucumbers, but they don't. They are not able to.
And so they're kind of living vicariously through your farm.
Yes. It helps me and give them chance to see their ideas being executed by this guy on the other end of the universe.
Are you able to sustain yourself and your family with what you've built so far?
Not yet fully. We are using some of the products from neighbors, for example, milk, wheat. But hopefully for next autumn, I will be able to fully sustain every food supply without any need to go to store.
Bobby told me his plan now is to start a commercial farming business, like the one he runs in Farming Simulator. He's confident that Ukraine will win the war and that his family is safe where they are now. And I really hope he's right. I'll let you know when I calm back up in 6 months or so. For On the Media, I'm Michael Owinger.
And that's the show. On the Media is produced by Micah Lowinger, Eloise Blondio, Molly Schwartz, Rebecca Clark Callender, Candace Wong, and Suzanne Gaber. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson, our engineer this week, Andrew Nerviano. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.